If I could afford a therapist, the therapist would tell me, don't beat yourself up, Josh, all right? You're doing a great job.
That's exactly what I just said. You don't need a therapist. You need to listen to your friends.
Sheesh!
Long ago, the four nations lived together in harmony.
Then everything changed when the Cabbage Corp podcast began. Hey, this is Josh.
And this is Christian, and welcome to the Cabbage Corp podcast.
The Cabbage Corp podcast is available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and anywhere else you like to listen to your favorite podcast. Head to anchor.fm/CabbageCorpPod to find the podcast app of your choice. Also, for our Korean listeners, don't worry, we are also on Podbang. If you like this episode, make sure to like, subscribe, and share. We love to hear from all of you guys, so leave comments and reviews on Apple Podcasts and Spotify.
Hello, Cabbage Heads, and welcome back to the Cabbage Corp Podcast. Last week, we covered episodes 16 and 17. This week, we will be covering episodes 18 and 19, which is part 1 and 2 of 4 for the last 4 episodes. A little recap for the last episode, Katara and Zuko go on their own adventure to avenge Katara's mother's death, and the gang go to watch an inaccurate but pretty accurate portrayal of themselves in a play on Ember Island. A little note before we get into this, these last four episodes that we'll be covering over 2 Cabbage Corp episodes are 4 parts of a whole. Before we get into part 1 of Sodes and Comment, Josh, can you give us a recap of the Avatar State Total and Power Ranking?
Yeah, for the Avatar State Total, we are at the same 10 that we were at the end of Book 2. And so we have not even delved close into the Avatar State since. But I see that changing in grand fashion soon enough. For Power Rankings, well, we messed up, guys. Katara actually clinched the whole Cabbage Corp power ranking last week because the only person who can catch her at this point is Sokka, and that's a reality that no one is ready for just yet. So congrats to Katara. That's all we're going to say about it now. The Cabbage Corp rankings was a magnificent failure, but we tried.
Our best, guys.
Just kidding. We want to talk it through. We have Zuko at 5 at the closest to Katara right now, yes. Within spitting distance. Aang, the Avatar himself, at 3 points apiece, tied with Uncle Iroh, and Azula and Toph leading the rear end with 2.
Yes. So Katara at 6.
Katara's at 6. Zuko is at 5.
Yes.
So there is a chance. These are, as this book 3 has been an incredible tour de force from Zuko, the Fire Prince himself. There is a chance that Zuko could catch up. So maybe spoken a little ahead of turn for Katara.
We'll
see. So the drama's still there, guys. Listen. Keep listening.
But it's sad because it's not Aang, you know?
It should be Aang. And yet, at the same time, this is our fault, Christian.
This is our
fault. I literally remember every point we gave out to these poor souls.
But in the moment, it made sense.
Did it?
So we shouldn't be so hard on ourselves, okay?
Yeah, you know what?
It's a journey, okay?
If I could afford a therapist, the therapist would tell me, don't beat yourself up, Josh, all right? You're doing a great job.
That's exactly what I just said. You don't need a therapist. You need to listen to your friends.
Hey, but if you can afford therapy, go to therapy.
Yeah,
that's the Cabbage Corp recommendation of the day.
All right, so with that, let's get into episode 18, Sozin's Comment Part 1. Phoenix King.
Alright, Edgelord. Yeah, so cool. You got a new nickname.
Sheesh. Through Zuko, the gang finds out Ozai's plan to burn down the Earth Kingdom during Sozin's Comet. As they prepare, Aang disappears to what seems like an island. And as the gang fail to find Aang, they turn to June and her mole. Mm. Meanwhile, Ozai is now crowned Phoenix King.
Self-crowned,
self-named.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, everybody, let's just get that out of the way. Self-named. So, why don't you start us off, Josh? What's something that is worthy to mention?
Sokka. If Aang tries to fight the Fire Lord right now, he'll lose. This is how we start the episode, right? The gang is chilling at the beach on Zuko's vacation estate. The reason for it being is that they are not ready to face the Fire Lord. Mm-hmm. The core members of the gang, the original core, have decided in their hearts and in their minds that Aang is not ready. And should he face the Fire Lord now, during Sozin's Comet, he'll die.
Yes.
So everyone has kind of put it in the back of their minds that we're going to do this another time and wait for Sozin's Comet to end, because the war is effectively over. There is no more Ba Sing Se.
Mm-hmm. However, Zuko does not know of this plan, even though he's part of the gang. I don't know. I guess he's out of the loop.
Both sides are not doing a great job of communication here, mm-hmm. right? There's no quarterback running the show. There's no manager. There's all these masters of their own elements, just in their own world, trying to take the Avatar their own direction without actually voicing their opinion on what the hell they should do.
Yeah, so what happens is Zuko's like, what the hell are you guys doing? We need to defeat the Fire Lord. And they express this to Zuko, and Zuko says, if you don't defeat the Fire Lord when the comet comes, there won't be a world to save anymore.
And what does he mean by that?
So during the time when Zuko had betrayed Uncle Iroh, he went into and participated in a meeting.
A war council meeting,
And this is when Fire Lord Ozai shares his master plan of using Sozin's Comet to burn down the Earth Kingdom. Other than the Northern Water Temple, it's really the only kind of free space that they have. But, you know, mind you, you know, Azula did figure out the Dai Li situation. You know, it's like...
And the Northern Water Tribe just refuses to get involved anymore.
But it's like, this is the point where if the Fire Nation takes over the Earth Kingdom, the war is over. The Fire Nation has taken over. So this is a big shock to everyone. And now everyone's freaking out, because it's like, Sozin's Comet is coming in like 2 days. How come Zuko and them are fighting? Like, how come you didn't tell me?
Yeah.
We should have been preparing. And Zuko's like, I didn't know what's going on. However, Sokka calms them down. He's like, hey, we'll do this together. And they do some strategic battle planning. So we'll get into that in a bit.
I think, you know, it was cool to see a flashback with Zuko actually being appreciated by his father. That's his dream.
Oh, yes.
But the interesting thing is, probably for the first time in Zuko's life, Fire Lord Ozai asked him for his adult opinion, for his counsel. And Zuko, thinking after his life-changing journey throughout all of Ba Sing Se and Earth Kingdom, when asked, you know, these Earth Kingdom commoners, how do you think they'll react to subjugation, to being disciplined? And he said, the Earth Kingdom is full of proud people who, as long as they have hope, will never surrender. Mm-hmm. And it's a beautiful sentiment. It's a beautiful kind of statement to show where Zuko's own headspace is at and to see his own journey through it. And what does his evil father do? He says, that's precisely correct, my son. What we have to do is break their spirit and take away their hope.
Yeah.
And I will burn Ba Sing Se to the ground. And Zuko's like, oh, what?
That's not what I meant. Zuko is coming from a place of like respect for the Earth Kingdom. But Azula also was like, then we should, what is it? She was like, then we should burn their hope to the ground.
Right,
and it was just like, Zuko's like, oh. Like, this is not the place I want to be. Like, him being so far away from them in that environment goes to show, like, maybe in this moment he realizes, like, wow, I'm so thankful in a sense that I didn't have to be in such a life or death situation at all times with my father.
Yeah.
Like, this is really intense stuff that they're talking about. So, I did like that flashback, too. Because I felt like we saw snippets of it, but then this moment was super, super important.
Yeah, and it's almost comical how this happened, but like Zuko essentially gives his dad the idea to burn everything to the ground. So Zuko, in a feeling of defiance and maybe guilt, feels like the Avatar needs to take him out right now. Mm-hmm. And so we go on to, how do we take out the most powerful firebender on planet Earth? And Sokka, the master strategist, devises a Lord of Melon.
Lord of Melon plan.
A Lord of Melon plan.
I feel like we haven't really seen too much, like, quote unquote, like, strategic battle practicing. Other than, like, one-on-one with Aang and, like, Katara, Aang and Toph. But this was, I feel like, the big moment when they all come together and we're like, we're going to defeat the Fire Lord together. And
yeah.
They have, like, a little scarecrow image that Toph needs to protect.
Right, right, right.
And it's a nice, like, comical but intense scene.
Yeah. No, it's kind of like the, like, a practice Avengers Assemble moment for our gang, right? And it's bizarre in a sense because I think it's played for laughs, but it's very serious. And at the same time, even in the next two episodes when they actually fight the Fire Lord, the gang's not together. They're actually completely separated into quadrants, and Aang is facing them alone, which is, I think, a purposeful decision. But we don't get to see the group dynamic of all elemental bending happening together in the whole series outside of a couple of different instances. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah.
No, interesting to see like them do teamwork and all that, even if it's kind of like funny.
And even within this fake scenario, Aang, what's going on with Aang?
Right. So Aang has been dreading his purpose this entire time. He knows that balance is ultimately what he's here for, to achieve a balance. Mm-hmm. But he, in his spiritual discipline, he, in his soulful discipline, he as a person himself, is not able to kill a living thing.
Mm-hmm.
And yet that's what he's tasked to do. So in this Melon Lord trading session where Toph is laughing, Toph is throwing rocks in there. And to be fair, I think the scene is played for humor most of the time. Sokka almost gets crushed by a boulder. And she said, Toph, what the hell are you doing? She goes, I'm not Toph, I'm Melon Lord. And then laughs like crazy. And even with all this like kind of raised humor stakes here, Aang is unable to even strike the melon with his glider.
Yeah, and Sokka's like, what's wrong with you? You have to do it like this. And Sokka, like, chops off the melon head, and Aang, like, winces away.
Yeah.
So even in this humorous moment, like, Aang is truly the one feeling that burden of, like, oh my god, I'm gonna have to kill somebody.
Right.
And that in itself, like, even within cartoons, I feel like they kind of brush it off. Like, superhero stuff, like, in Avengers, like, they kill off so many people, and, like, it's not really, like, even the casualties, they don't even bring up.
Right.
But in this moment, you see, like, Aang really mentally struggling with this. And this has been foreshadowed many times before.
Mm.
And now it's, like, at this point where it's, like, now you have to face it.
Right. And this is a reminder, the last episode before this one is the Ember Island Players, which is such a bold stroke. Because as I'm watching this the penultimate and ultimate episodes, it's like an hour and a half together, you realize like we're running out of space and we're running out of time very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Like the writers have to do so much, the show has to do so much, and yet we go from like we're going from a stage play to being like, oh, Aang actually has to kill the Fire Lord.
Yeah.
And now we have to realize what the stakes look like.
Yes. So this is all going on, and now kind of on the other side.
Yeah, what's happening in the Fire Nation
chambers?
Oh my
gosh. Okay, wait. I wanted to ask a question.
Okay.
Phoenix King?
The Phoenix King.
What?
It's kind of a gangster name. I actually...
You like it?
No, I don't.
Hated I'm Phoenix King because I'm reborn.
Yeah.
Like, what?
Yeah.
What are you, like a Harry Potter? The Phoenix bird?
Order of the Phoenix?
I don't know.
Are you Fox the Phoenix?
Maybe their point was to make it cringy, but I remember hearing that name and I was like, no.
Yeah.
You should have done something like dragon related. That would have been freaking epic.
He should be a dragon, right?
Like dragon slayer. Oh my god, or something like that. Oh wait, that's bad. That's
Stop giving the Fire Lord more ideas, Christian.
They already had that idea, you know? But I just felt like they could have come up with a better name. But maybe that was the whole point. To make it like...
To make this, it cringy?
To make it this like, oh my god, over the top, like egotistic feeling from the Fire Lord. But I remember hearing that name and I was like, ooh.
I think what you're reacting to, and because I had a similar reaction, was that it's a hell of an exchange. Because first of all, Ozai's like, Azula, you're staying here. Mm-hmm. I will lead the battle, the embattlements against Ba Sing Se alone. And Azula is throwing a fit. She's like, how could you betray me? Essentially like that. And then Fire Lord Ozai is like, you will become Fire Lord. And that's kind of like a dope thing to bestow. It immediately solves her kind of feelings of abandonment and all that. And she's like, but what will you be? And he's like, I will be reborn as the Phoenix King. So it's like Fire Lord is such a good title.
It is. That, they did such a good job with that.
Yeah. I think also what we're coming up against right now is he doesn't talk for so long, and he's just a shadow, this menace, this monster. And now he, like, in his like fourth ever real utterance on this show, this fourth ever thing he ever said on the show, he's like, call me Phoenix King. You know, it's like, it's a little cringy. I get it. I think when you remove the mystery away from an evil monster, they become less scary.
Okay, I see that. Yeah.
And also, the Phoenix King, the reborn stuff, the way that he talks about burning Ba Sing Se to the ground and to be reborn into something new is like super villainy stuff. It's empire stuff. It's as we talked about war in the past, real life world parallels. It's why great nations believe that we should become greater and everyone should adopt it because I am God, you know. So maybe they're trying to do that without saying like I'm Fire God. I mean, they already say the Fire Lord, so I guess it's already up there. But yeah,
I just didn't like that name. I was like,
the Phoenix King. Yeah, Phoenixes are kind of gangster. But also, like, yeah, I think Dragon would have made more sense. But maybe they thought, would we just laugh if they call him I'm the Dragon King? Like, is that even more crazy?
I feel like they could, but I feel like it was intentional to make it.
Sure.
Like this. Because I remember in that moment, I wasn't like, whoa, a huge, big mercenary. He was like, oh, okay. Wow. Okay, Phoenix King. Okay.
Yeah, it's one of those. Okay, Phoenix King. Good job, like Phoenix King.
Yeah, it was like that moment. And it was like, I could play in my head, him to himself. He's like, what should I call myself? Like, the Phoenix King. And him going to his, like, advice with the other people, like, do you think Phoenix King is a good name?
He focus group Phoenix King and tested very well with audiences from 16 to 35.
I know, like,
the core demo was taken care of.
Yeah, so that moment was weird, but you touched upon it before about Azula's feeling of betrayal.
Yes.
So her
position, her value is as a weapon of war next to her father.
Uh-huh.
The only, unfortunately for her, the only parental figure where she feels like she can, has a similar mind link with, a similar heart to.
Mm-hmm.
And so when the Phoenix King, her father, tells her that you're going to be staying here, that feeling of loss, that abandonment, that I thought I knew the way that my father thinks, I've been doing everything in my life because of what I want my father to believe of me or what I think my father wants of me. And so immediately her thing, I think it's her descent into instability started before, but this trips her up even more.
Yeah, I feel like she mentions it, like, you can't banish me like Zuko.
Ooh.
And in this moment, I think, like, okay, she already is feeling insecure because of her two best friends, quote-unquote best friends, betrayed her. Now she feels this way. But then, just like how Azula can manipulate situations, Phoenix King now.
Yeah.
He manipulates.
Let's call him PK.
Yeah.
PK. The PK.
Wait, isn't that initials for something else?
Anyway. It's PK. I'm going to call him like, yo, Phoenix King, what's up? It's all about all the pastor's kids in our life.
But it's like he manipulated her by giving her this, honestly, nameless title because he's going to rule over everything.
Fair.
So I feel like it's pretty nameless. Like, he's going to just put a commander for each nation and he's going to control them all. But she's just going to be another commander. So I feel like it's really a nameless title when you're going to conquer the whole world.
So. Yeah. No, I think that's fair. I think while there is, I think, significant prestige around the title of Fire Lord, if you choose to make like, hey, you can be like the president, I'm just gonna be like commander of the universe here, like, then the president of the United States doesn't mean very much anymore. Right. Let's talk about Azula real quick.
Okay,
so Azula was just not only abandoned but betrayed, was chi blocked by her two quote-unquote best friends. she has the kind of abandonment issues from her mother always, that mm-hmm. her mother loved Zuko above anyone else. And now it's the Phoenix King is the only person who has ever given her value in her life. Mm-hmm. Outside of maybe Zuko, who fears her, but also kind of loves her, I think.
Yeah, so she feels this like major insecurity, and we get into that the last three episodes, really. Like, she kind of starts having these mental breakdowns, and we are able to see that all unravel.
And Christian, episode 18 does wrap with Aang contacting his former selves, right? It's a super important, super important kernel here, because Aang is so frustrated by the task at hand. And to be honest, I was really upset at Katara and Sokka here for not understanding the burden that he's under, you know? And then when Aang kind of has an outburst, and Aang doesn't have many outbursts in the entire series, but Aang has an outburst, like, you have no idea what I'm dealing with. And Katara, what the hell did you say? I know exactly what you're going through.
Oh my God.
No, the hell you don't. Katara, to be fair, Katara, I think, feels like that because she just spared the man who killed her mother.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, I don't...
That's
I
can't not
do
the
that.
Same,
It's not
girl.
The same.
It's not
the
same
at all. And it's like, Aang... And so Aang departs. He runs away from the group, and Katara is almost about to chase him. Zuko, who has surprisingly become wiser and wiser throughout this whole thing when he's not advocating for the entire removal of the Earth Kingdom, he says he needs to figure this out on his own. You have to let him go.
Yeah, we'll just do our thing.
Exactly. And Aang, what does Aang do? And this is such a powerful moment. This is such an incredible story device in all of Avatars. He can consult with his past lives. Mm-hmm. And his past lives, I think what's interesting here is that they all say disappointing things to him, but Aang listens to every single person.
Yes.
Every single Avatar to come before. And while he thinks that their advice might be a little too direct, I think he takes the spirit of it and he accomplishes what they wanted in a way that none of them could have seen.
Yes.
So let's go into a little bit of what he says. So it starts off, he talks to four Avatars here. And of course, the Avatar he consults with first is the one right before him, Roku. Roku says, I offer you this wisdom, Aang. You must be decisive. Then he talks to Kyoshi. Only justice will bring peace. Then Kurok. If I had been more attentive and more active, I could have saved her. Aang, you must actively shape your own destiny and the destiny of the world. And finally, Avatar Yang Chen, the last air nomad avatar to come in the cycle.
Yes.
Selfless duty calls you to sacrifice your own spiritual needs and do whatever it takes to save the world. Aang is so disheartened by this, even after talking. Roku has never led him astray in this way, but Roku is also, we've talked about in the past, how every Avatar's shortcomings affects the next Avatar's own lifeline. And we see that through Kurok and Yang Chen in the past, with how the spirits were so disturbed by Yang Chen's siding with man that the spirits actively go after Kurok's loved ones. But they all essentially tell Aang, in their heads, they're like, you need to do what the hell you have to do, and you need to kill the Fire Lord. That's what I would do in the situation. Mm-hmm. But how they say it is framed in a way that you can take multiple kind of endings from it, right? So all these things... While they say, like, you need to do what you have to do, the way that they say it, Aang takes the heart of the matter and then chooses to translate it in his own way. So you need to be decisive. Justice will bring peace. You have to actively shape your own destiny and the destiny of the world. And Christian, I love anytime they go into the Avatar state. I love when they talk to all past Avatars.
Yes.
The one, I don't know about you, but for me, the Yang Chen kind of bond broke my heart. So she can see so much of Aang's experience because she's lived so much of it herself as an air nomad. Mm-hmm. When she says, you are indeed a gentle spirit, but you have to sacrifice your own spiritual needs for the needs of the world.
Yes.
And I found that so heartbreaking, right? Because he's been trying to do that, but the spiritual kind of discipline that he's formed from the monks is what makes him so great and such a kind and beautiful person. So it's like almost like you have to give up the purity in you to save the world. And that killed me. What did you think? What about this whole Avatar conversation?
I felt like it's just, especially with Yang Chen, it's like hard because I just don't know her story either.
Yeah.
I don't know if she had to go through the war because they excluded themselves from the other nations because they wanted to be apart from the world.
Uh-huh.
So it's like hard for me to think like how much can she understand what Aang is going through, even if they have the same beliefs, because she herself may have never had to really go through that.
Yeah, I think so like in some of like this the supplementary material, like she has her own like kind of comic issue as well. So her thing was interesting, like as a quick aside, there was like this crazy spirit, this like 1,000-foot spirit that was like attacking this town. And so she had to transform into the Avatar state like every day to fight this spirit. And turns out it was because of like the townspeople like destroyed a monument to the spirit. And eventually, after much loss, like the spirit and the Avatar fought to a stalemate. And then the spirit agreed to leave the people alone. But because of that, a lot of the spirits were angry in the later generations. So she feels like I had to sacrifice like my connection with the spirit so I can protect the people I was allotted to. I think that's where she's coming from now. But that's explained in a side quest.
I like this. It seems like Aang's past avatars dealt with spiritual stuff. And then when it came to Kurok, it started dealing with humans. And then after Aang with Korra, it's again with spiritual things.
Yeah.
It's interesting, that flow of I've balanced the spirit world. Okay, I got to balance the physical world. Now I have to balance the spiritual world. Like, you're constantly going back and forth with, like, 3 or 4 generations of avatars. And I think that's, like, a very human thing to put in.
Right.
Like, understanding that it's so hard to balancing both spirit and physical world. So you usually just tend to the most difficult part or like the most damaged area.
Yeah, or most immediate danger, right?
But then once you solve that, what used to be something that wasn't immediate turns into immediate damage.
Yes, the next generation.
You haven't been tending to it.
We're talking about holistic healing.
Yes, holistic, which makes me wonder, maybe they should start splitting up the avatars, you know?
That's, Christian, I think that you just dropped the wildest level of insight we've ever heard on Cabbage Corp. That's so beautiful and powerful. Like, you're right. Every avatar, whatever they deal with and they solve in their own lifetime, the other part of it, whether that's the political nature of human beings or the spirit war nature of the spiritual war, like whichever you neglect in your lifetime will come back and bite the next avatar. The whole point of this show, with this universe, is balance. And so if an avatar neglects the human or the spiritual in his or her life, the other will come to bite him or her in the future one. And the fact of the matter is, it's so beautiful because this is just human history all the time, right? But through reincarnation, these avatars have some sense that they've dealt with this before. And I think that's the powerful point of the overarching message of the show, is that balance, can it ever truly be achieved? Because there's so many things to balance. I think Korra gets the closest in our lifetime because she allows the spirit world to essentially take over the natural human world as well. But until then, like, Korra's going to have to deal with a lot of the decisions that Aang makes here as well.
I do think, though, Aang is, for me personally, a bit more special because he's so young.
Yeah.
Like, all of his past avatars, like, of course, you know, they, like, grew up and everything, but, like, the responsibilities that he has to do in a year, where the other avatars had so much more time, I think that's what makes Aang so special. And that's why I feel like in this moment, all these things, in a third person perspective, it's like, yeah, I know that the avatar does that, but I'm also 12 years old and I have to do this all in a year.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that we need to consider too. But kind of ending off episode 18, at this point, his friends are looking for him because he's disappeared. He hasn't really like gone into the spirit world, but he sleepswalked to this lion turtle island, which they don't know yet.
Yeah.
So Aang is like, what is this like weird island that I'm on? You know what? It's a place that I can have peace. And so that's where he connects with his past avatars. And that's really where it closes. And with that, we're going to get into episode 19. Sozin's Comet Part 2, the old masters.
Sheesh! As the gang failed to find Aang, they asked June to find Uncle Iroh instead. This decision is more fruitful as they come in contact with the great old masters. Something we have been hinting at since we mentioned King Bumi. As they turn to them for wisdom, they create a plan to fight the Fire Nation. Meanwhile, Aang comes to find out that he is not on an island, but on a lion turtle.
Okay. The old masters. So this is, you know, we've been talking about this for a while, and we love reunions. We love the Day of Black Sun. We saw a lot of old faces coming back together. But this is the biggest moment we've been waiting for. And I just love this quote that King Bumi says when they all meet together and Toph's like, "You guys all know each other?" And King Bumi's like, "All old people know each other. Don't you know that?" And I just love that moment. And I can really connect to that because I feel like we're not old, but I feel like we're at an age where we've created connections so that when we meet somebody, there are some times where like, you know this person? How do you know? And we have these weird connections with people. And I think like that's a really nice moment. Like you've lived long enough to at least know one other person.
Yeah.
When you meet somebody new.
For the cabbage heads who may not have met us in person, just know when Josh running through these streets, people be saying, "What up?" Okay, we be acting like we all White Lotus-ing out here. But you know, it's wild, the White Lotus set up, right? They're all here as part of a secret organization of old people of all different nations coming together. So you have Zhang Zhang, you have Master Pan Diao, you have King Bumi, and you have
Master Paku. Yeah.
The one person we're missing is in a tent sleeping right now. We will get to him shortly.
Yes. So when they all meet, a little nice detail that they put in, Master Paku is now Katara and Sokka's grandfather. Yes.
He just keeping that libido up after all these years.
He's like, "I'm gonna go to the Southern Water Tribe for my woman."
Damn. Fellas, we've all been there. We've all maybe gone to Orange County to see someone who's very far away for that chance of getting grand, you know? Yeah, so I mean it's a cute little detail. Master Paku, the son of a bitch that he was in the beginning, is now Katara and Sokka's step grandfather, which is interesting.
I think the most like the big highlight of this was when Zuko and Uncle Iroh got together.
Reconnected.
Like they reconnected. You know, Aang finds out he's on a lion turtle. That's all great stuff. We kind of already knew that. The highlight of this is they meet the old masters and Zuko and Uncle Iroh's reunion. So there is a quote that I want to bring up and let's kind of discuss this.
"How can you forgive me so easily? I thought you'd be furious with me."
"I was never angry with you. I was just sad that you lost your way. But you found it. And all on your own. I am so proud of you." He says something like that, okay? He says something like that.
In the middle of quarantine is when this show returned to Netflix. Mm-hmm. And I had lost, we had gotten laid off. I had gotten laid off from my job. And, Josh just needed a good cry. And there's a few like preloaded videos I have where like I just need to get in touch with my emotional
you
self.
You and your weird YouTube history. You and JJ.
Yeah. Shout out JJ and me's weird YouTube history. It's not that kind of weird, guys. It's like fun, like "Hey, Molly." But I do have this queued up. Is Uncle Iroh and Zuko's reunion. And on YouTube, there's not a great version of it. Like the sound is all off. Sometimes the music is way too loud and the voices are too small. I think it's been sped up a few times.
Copyright.
But when Avatar came back to Netflix, Netflix sponsored the pod. I just needed to see this scene.
You just rewatched this scene.
Oh my god! And then that kind of led me to like, how incredibly beautiful is this show? I need to rewatch it from the beginning. And it really kicked us off on such a beautiful thing. Zuko and Uncle Iroh at this reunion is the emotional turning point, I think, of the entire show. It's the fulcrum.
Yeah. And I think this makes it so special because Zuko's asking Uncle Iroh for this forgiveness, which makes sense. However, I think Zuko's reasoning for asking for forgiveness is because he feels like he owes Uncle Iroh something. And he does, in a sense. He's the only person he's ever owed his life to, but he's always felt like this with Azula, with his dad, with even the gang. He feels like he owes them something because he did something wrong. And Uncle Iroh's response is just so selfless. Like, he's like, I don't care how you treated me. I was just so sad that you got hurt in the process. And that's something, even honestly, at a point, the gang didn't really care about. They were like, you need to regain like our trust and all these things. Like, you need to pass all these hurdles for us to forgive you. But for Uncle Iroh, he never cared about the direct hurt that and consequence that Uncle Iroh received himself. He just cared about the long-term health of Zuko. And I think that's why this moment makes me so sad, because it really, you know, makes you reflect on a lot of relationships. Like, think about people in your lives that have really just always been your supporter and never asked for anything. And there are just moments in our lives that we neglect that, and we don't realize that there are supporters until maybe either it's too late, or we feel so guilty that we can't even bring ourselves to come to them. And right. I think for Zuko, he felt this shame and guilt that he couldn't. He went into his Uncle Iroh's room and he was just sleeping there, and he didn't have the courage to wake him up, so he just waited outside of his tent. And that scene just shows how much Zuko understood what he did.
Yeah, Zuko sat by his bedside until you awoke, because he says, I have no right to disturb the man any longer. And I think what you said is right on point and brand, because when you have an unconditional relationship like Zuko and Uncle Iroh have, like, it's so rare for him that he doesn't know what to do with himself, you know, that he comes in here ready for forgiveness. It's very reminiscent of the prodigal son, right? It's like a son has an apology ready in his head and he starts to get it out, and the father comes running after him, right? It's an old story. It's an allegory. It's a metaphor. It's embedded in all these writings itself. But the Zuko and Uncle Iroh, the kind of embrace that happens, the music that wells up, it's such a beautiful moment between those two. And you know, absolutely sure, that it's Uncle Iroh who's just proud to see him back. And the fact that he tried to apologize is nice and all, but for Uncle Iroh, it's like, you found your own way. And that's what he's been telling him from the beginning. He's like, you need to find your own path. Yeah. You need to find your own honor without having based in anyone else.
There was this one part that I really like from Uncle Iroh. They're all like in a circle and Sokka's happy. He's like, oh my god, I have all these like old masters around me. They can help me plan. And one point that they bring up is, oh, Uncle Iroh, why don't you just fight your brother?
Yeah.
And it kind of foreshadows what Zuko's gonna do with, I feel like, Azula. But Uncle Iroh says it would be the wrong way to end the war. And I think that's why when he brings up Zuko going to fight Azula, he says, you're gonna fight her with Katara. Because I guess I feel like in my head, Uncle Iroh knows it's gonna end with the Agni Kai if Zuko goes alone. And that's what Uncle Iroh didn't want, because it reflected what Uncle Iroh and his brother would have to do. And he said, this is the wrong way to end the war, because it's gonna look like just two brothers fighting for the throne.
Right.
That is not what
Which
we're
is as
here
cliche
for.
Of a royal story as anything yes. else.
And I think Uncle Iroh realizing there is a wrong way to end the war is so wise. Because many people will say, as long as you get it done, the damages you did doesn't matter. Like, right. A lot of people think like that. Like, oh, it doesn't matter if I hurt people along the way. I did it for the greater good.
Yeah.
But Uncle Iroh sees the greater good will have more damage on the cycle of the anger and vengeance if it's done in this way. And I think Uncle Iroh is so wise for that.
Incredibly wise. And I think that's how important the position of the Avatar is, because it transcends a human beef. It really is like, this is a spiritual good. What you're doing, Fire Lord Ozai, to the rest of the world has Well, I think when Aang says it to him when they're fighting, is has thrown the world so off of balance that I'm here to correct it as this kind of almost godly force that, that has been appointed for this task. And it's a righteous task that they put him on. It's so important that he does this because even with Aang doing this and Aang essentially winning the final victory, Zuko in his rule as Fire Lord sometimes falls to his worst demons.
Yeah.
Even knowing that. So if imagine if Uncle Iroh did that, the power can corrupt anybody if it's done in this kind of blood feud way. Mm-hmm. The only way, at least in this universe, where a timeline can truly be cleansed and peace be brought up the right way, is that the Avatar makes it so.
Yeah.
Because even after that, Zuko struggles with being the Fire Lord and the kind of presence takes. And he gets upset with Aang a bunch of times because he feels like he's either meddling or not doing enough. Mm. And so imagine if it was a Fire Nation prince or even Uncle Iroh who had taken that last victory. That feeling of, the feeling of like, I deserve this and only me would be even more heightened.
Yeah.
Sheesh! And with that, that's the end of the first half of Sozin's Comet here.
Yeah.
Parts 1 and 2.
So these two episodes will set up the last two parts. A little note, Brian and Michael actually were going to make this whole thing into one episode. Oof. But they realized they couldn't, so that's why they broke it up into two parts. Those two parts were also broken up. However, it's just two major parts that they like put together. Right. So. And I love that they did that because I hate when movies and TV shows like are like, we don't have enough time. Let's like put it all in one. I'm like, no. Yes, thank you for splitting it up.
Yeah.
Because it's so important. Game of Thrones.
Yeah. Get,
you go mess die. Go die up, somewhere. Okay.
And we deserved an hour 20 minutes of this finale. Mm-hmm. And yes. it feels like it. And even with an hour 20 minutes, you always wish there's more. So
yeah.
Good job, Brian and Mike, as always.
With that, let's get into Avatar State Total and our power ranking score. So Avatar State Total is at 10.
Yeah, we're at 10 until the second part.
We don't count him going into like...
No, we haven't counted.
I'm so surprised it's 10. I thought he went to the Avatar State a lot more.
Right. We have close to, I think, over 60 episodes in all this and only 10 times has he gone into...
That's crazy.
Yeah, the Avatar State. He's, and the big reason why he hasn't gotten in this book is that he was shot down from the sky the last time we saw him as such.
Okay, power rank score. Let's try to eliminate first.
Yeah, Azula out.
Out. Aang.
Are you trying to eliminate first, or are you trying to go to discuss? No. Get Toph out of here.
Toph, Azula.
Sokka, get out of here.
Sokka, they're all out. I feel like Uncle Iroh, I don't know. It was the most memorable moment, but I don't know. But it's hard. I feel like we should kind of keep him.
Let's keep him. So the players right now.
Katara is not really a big part of it either.
You're right. Get Katara out of here.
So it's Aang, Zuko, and Uncle Iroh. Yeesh, it's not looking good. Aang, he goes on a lion turtle. His own adventure.
Yeah, I think that this is
freaking hard. Okay, not Zuko. I don't think it's Zuko either.
Why don't you think it's Zuko?
Okay, what did he do? First episode, he did nothing. Zuko, second episode, he apologized.
It's more than an apology, Christian.
It is, but it's Uncle Iroh's reaction to it that makes it big.
All right, let's talk about things gained, right? This is
okay,
a
things
lot of times.
Gained.
Yeah. So.
Oh wait, no. Zuko brings June.
Zuko does bring June.
Meet the old masters. He kind of settles the group when Aang's and
The old masters kind of. Man. All right, let's talk this through.
It's Zuko or Aang, because Uncle Iroh very. Oh, so important though. Like he sets them up for their adventures. He kind of tells them what to do.
Right. Uncle Iroh, okay, so this is what Uncle Iroh did this episode. First, taking a great nap. Incredible. Second, he awakes to his beloved nephew, who's back in his life, who has not only come back with his full honor restored, but has become the man he's been training to be, that you've been training him to be his entire life. And then he tells Zuko one last bit of wisdom, which is that I cannot settle this war if it's going to be done the right way. You and the Avatar need to settle this and bring about a new generation. Wisdom, and you get your nephew back. Aang. What does Aang do?
Goes on the Lion Turtle.
He goes on a spirit quest, essentially.
He does.
He talks to his past avatars. But he's flustered the whole time, right? It's not like he's feeling great after them. They give him wisdom.
He's
they give him truth.
He's finding his way.
He's finding his way. This is a transitionary episode for Aang, in my opinion.
He'll win the next one for sure.
That's what we said every episode. And then Zuko. What are we talking about Zuko? What does Zuko do?
Zuko.
So first Zuko wakes. He wakes the whole gang up to be like, you need to get the hell this script together because my dad is about to kill everybody.
Yes. And then when Aang disappears, he brings Jun to find Aang. Can't find him. So they find Uncle Iroh.
He finds Uncle Iroh.
So he kind of does what Sokka usually does.
Oh, he takes over Sokka. So this should... Okay.
So it's...
So this shouldn't weigh into the decision, but I'm going to say, because hopefully the listeners are thinking about it. Should Zuko win this point, him and Katara would finish the series tied at first. Which makes me feel a little better, or does it? I don't know.
I think... Okay, I would say for people who are like, how come Aang didn't win more and things like that, I just want to preface something I've always prefaced. Zuko is Aang's best friend. Katara is his wife
yes.
in the future. These are the two characters that support Aang and love on Aang that help him be an amazing man. That's, I think, why they're
up
there.
Wow. That's a great point. That's like drop the mic, bang the gavel.
That's why Albert's amazing. Best friend, wife. we love on him. That's why Albert's amazing.
What a loser. No, that's awesome. I love that. I feel so much better about that. Okay, great. I think Zuko wins this.
Zuko.
We're such all cheaters. Right. Yeah. Cabbage Corp honor restored. My
yes,
honor.
Okay.
Where's my honor?
If you're a big fan of podcasts or want to just show some love and support to the Cabbage Corp podcast, go sign up for Stitcher Premium today at stitcher.com/premium for only $4.99 a month. With Stitcher Premium, you get access to ad-free episodes, comedy albums, and exclusive episodes from Stitcher. If you just want to check it out and you don't really know if it's for you, don't worry. If you use our promo code WARRIORS at checkout, you get a month free on us. So go check it out.
All right. Thank you guys for listening to the Cabbage Corp podcast. Make sure to follow us on Instagram at Cabbage Corp Pod. And we'll see you guys next week.
For the last episode.
Yes.
Of Avatar The Last Airbender - Cabbage Corp podcast. Call me the Phoenix King.